This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Well, working in a newsroom when you know a story is about to break makes for a very exciting morning. Today, all the TVs were on and the news alerts were waiting for the Supreme Court's decision on health care. While a nail-biter for citizens and journalists, we also wonder how the decision played out inside of these cloistered chambers of the nation's highest court. Back in March, the justices heard 3 days of heated arguments on both sides of the law, which is actually called the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. So what has the court done with these arguments since? And how does the Supreme Court keep decisions so secret in a city best known for leaks and inside chatter? On the line to give us some more insight is Peter Irons. He's a Harvard Law graduate and a member of the Supreme Court Bar. He also has taught constitutional law for about 25 years. He has also authored 13 books on justice in the Supreme Court, including May It Please the Court and A People's History of the Supreme Court. And he just happens to be vacationing in New Hampshire today. Peter Irons, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Well, thank you, Virginia.
First of all, are you surprised by the decision of the court to uphold the individual mandate portion of the law?
Actually, I was not as much surprised by the outcome of the case as I was by the alignment of the justices who voted to uphold it. I think most Supreme Court watchers had predicted that Justice Anthony Kennedy would provide the swing vote either to uphold or strike down the law. And it was surprising to all of us, I think, that it was Chief Justice Roberts who turned out to be the decisive vote in this case, and very few of us had predicted that particular outcome.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of action, especially on social media, that it may prompt a reexamination of Justice John Roberts' legacy. Too strong?
Well, I think that Justice Roberts really wanted to put his own signature on this decision. He was, of course, in the majority, and when a chief justice is in the majority on a case, he assigns the opinions, and he assigned it to himself, mm-hmm. which often happens when a very important or controversial decision is coming down. And I think he wanted this to be a sort of signature of his role on the Supreme Court as the leader of the court.
Now, Peter, this has quickly become a story of how complicated the ruling actually is. In fact, CNN got its headline wrong this morning, saying that the mandate had actually been struck down. so what is the version of what the ruling actually means? You know, your 30-second version.
Well, the 30-second version is that at the beginning, when Chief Justice Roberts started reading his opinion from the bench, everybody assumed, because he said that law was not constitutional under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, that he was going to strike it down. And then a few minutes later, he said, but it can be upheld under the taxing power of Congress in the first article of the Constitution. And everybody had to suddenly switch their positions.
Mm-hmm.
And all the reporters wound up literally with some egg on their face.
Well, let's talk about how the court actually comes to a decision like this. You mentioned, you know, writing the opinions of the justices, and John Roberts wrote this one. Now, how long after hearing the arguments are these actually written?
Well, the way it works, Virginia, is that after a case is orally argued before the court, and this took place back in March on this act, the justices take a vote in their conference, which is closed to all outsiders. Nobody knows what goes on inside the conference room, as opposed to the oral arguments, which are open to the public. And they take a tentative vote. Most times that tentative vote stands up until the opinion is released. But there are always a chance, up to the very day that a decision is released, that one or more justices could change their position. And a decision that was struck down by a majority could later be upheld, or vice versa. And so you never know what's going on inside the court as the justices are writing their opinions, circulating drafts back and forth between their chambers, making suggestions as to how a majority opinion could be revised to satisfy some of their concerns. And this is a process that is about as secret as anything you could imagine in the government.
Well, see, that's just stunning to me. There are clerks and administrators and staff who have all had eyes on these documents, and yet no leaks.
There has never, to my knowledge, Virginia, and I think I'm right, been a leak of a Supreme Court decision before it was announced. Mm-hmm. And this is partly because not only the nine justices, and I don't think there are any who would ever leak a decision, but there are also 36 clerks on the court. These are young law school graduates, generally in their early mid-20s, graduates of very prestigious law schools. And a Supreme Court clerkship is really a ticket to success in the law field after they leave the court. And they are sworn to an oath that they will not release any information, leak any information. And as I said, this has never happened to my knowledge. And so consequently, those of us who were trying to predict which way the court would rule on the health care law literally had nothing to rely upon except our basic hunches.
Oh, Peter Irons, we have to wrap. So I'm curious. You know, CNN, of course, did get it wrong this morning. As a Supreme Court scholar, which sources would you keep an eye on for news from the court?
Pardon me?
Which sources do you keep an eye on for news from the court?
Well, the justice who everybody assumed would be the deciding vote was Justice Anthony Kennedy, because he, in fact, is the swing vote on the court in most cases. And so everybody, in fact, when the case was argued before the Supreme Court, both of the lawyers who were arguing, Solicitor General Verrilli for the government and Paul Clement for the challengers of the law, really directed their arguments and their briefs at Justice Kennedy, hoping to persuade him to join their side. And I think a lot of people assumed that Chief Justice Roberts would, not himself be the deciding vote, but it turned out that way. And it just goes to show, Virginia, that those of us who have followed the court closely for as long as many of us have, 30 years in my case, really cannot predict with any certainty the outcome of these very controversial cases.
Well, Peter Irons, I want to thank you so much. So glad you could join us today.
Well, thank you, Virginia. It's been a pleasure.
Peter Irons, he's a Harvard Law graduate, a member of the Supreme Court Bar, and he's taught constitutional law for 25 years. We have more on his many books at wordofmouthradio.org. And we thank you for joining us on such a momentous day. Of course, we'll be back on Saturday with Word of Mouth Weekend. And please join us again anytime at wordofmouthradio.org.